Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
It's hour two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. And I'm joined by my friendo, John Lobb. You heard him with me on this show before. You've heard him with me on the college fantasy football on campus over at Fantrax. We're going to talk the Super Bowl, talk a little Senior Bowl. Johnny, how you doing, man?
Hey, man. I love this time of the year. You know, my first Super Bowl was in 1977, the Orange Crush versus the Doomsday Defense. And I have not missed the Super Bowl since. It is basically an unofficial holiday, and it's amazing to see how popular the game is compared to when I first saw it in 1977. But I love this time of the year, my friend.
And of course, you can follow John on the Twitter at GridironSkull91. He reminded me, I screwed it up on our last show, our outro show of the season. I threw Joe Pizzapia's name or number in on yours. I said 17 instead of 91. GridironSkull91. I don't know why I did that, but I will not do that today, of course. But how do you feel about this matchup of the Niners versus the Chiefs? I mean, it seems like this could be an all-time classic Super Bowl of offense versus defense, right, John?
You know, I'm going to probably take the contrarian approach. I feel so god darn good about the 49ers. I think they're going to whoop them, my friend. I am surprised that so many people, I like the under, and I love San Francisco. So I'm obviously contrarian. I'm hearing all of the noise out there. I'm hearing everyone loves the Chiefs, and I understand how good Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are. You don't have to explain that to me, but I've seen this script, Scott. The great young quarterback enters the playoffs against an elite defense. I've seen this script so many times, and the defense wins. And the first time I can remember it was 1984, Dan Marino, Mark Clayton, Mark Duper coming up. They kicked the Pittsburgh Steelers' ass in the AFC Championship game. Dan Marino had 48 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards. And the 49ers brought in their ass-whooping defense led by Ronnie Lott and George Seifert, and they just destroyed Miami. I saw it again, my man. 1990, the Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Thurman Thomas. I had never seen anything like that. That offense, they beat the Raiders 51-7, I believe, in Buffalo. The Giants barely squeaked by the two-time champion, 49ers. Parcells and Belichick had a defensive game plan that goes down in the annals of NFL history. They controlled the clock. They beat them. Now, Norwood makes the field goal. The Bills win, but it doesn't matter. The Giants won. And my personal one, I remember when Peyton had the high-flying offense, 2013. They had everything. Demaryius Thomas. They had Eric Decker. No Sean Marino. Peyton Manning and the Legion of Boom absolutely ripped them a new one. I've seen this script. This is the best stat I've read all week, Scott. Six teams in the Super Bowl era have had over 57 sacks in the regular season and made the Super Bowl. Guess how many won the Super Bowl, Scott?
All of them.
Yes. And guess what? The 49ers have 57 sacks. That is not my stat. I read it on Twitter, so I don't want to take credit. But I just see a 49 ass whooping here. I just... You love the offense. We all do. We play fantasy football, right, Scott?
Yeah.
We love the story. Like the heroic young man, Patrick Mahomes. I've seen this. And the defense wins these games. I'm wondering if I'm overconfident. I'm wondering if I just, you know, I kind of felt this way the Monday morning after the championship games. I have not wavered. There's a lot of noise. Most people seem to like Kansas City. I'm going with the 49ers, my friend.
This is going to be a repetitive podcast, my friend, because it's funny. Welsh and I have been talking about it. Welsh is, of course, he's from the Bay Area. He grew up a Niners fan. He is obsessed with Jerry Rice. So he is, of course, going to take his Niners. And that's not a surprise to anybody. But for me, I don't, you know, look, don't tell Welsh, but I don't really want to see the Niners win. You know, I don't want to see, I would like to see the Niners win for him because he's my friend, yeah. Right? I'd like to see him get some joy out of them winning, but I don't want another team matching the Steelers' six Super Bowl titles. Like the Patriots just did that crap last year. So I don't want to see another team hit it the next year, but I have to go with my gut. And my gut says, give me that defense, right? Look, I know that the Chiefs are peaking on all cylinders right now. That they're hitting on all cylinders and they're peaking. And I get it. And, you know, I think that there is an argument to your point about the defense always winning these games, Sean, to say that, well, the rules in the NFL are different now. Right. They're just different.
Yes.
And they're geared more towards helping the offense and keeping the quarterback upright and making sure that points are going to be put up on the board and all of that. So I think there's credence to people that point that stuff out. The game is designed to help the offense, not help the defense. Even with that, I don't think it matters. I think that the Niners defense is so strong and the Chiefs defense is playing well right now, but the Packers defense played really well all season and they let Raheem Mostert go out there and put up 222 yards and four scores. So I just
think about what you just said. They let and I like Mostert. He had 200 yards rushing in a championship game. I mean, come on. I like watching him. I love the story. But do you realize he's not Eric Dickerson? He's not He went out. He's not even Terrell Davis. I mean, he just had one of the greatest games in championship history. This running game is spectacular, my friend.
I mean, who knew – Raheem Mostert, you and I play college fantasy football, and Raheem Mostert playing for Purdue had, I think someone flashed up the stat after after this unbelievable NFC championship where he had, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of 750 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns in his college career. And then he had 222 rushing yards and 4 scores in the NFC championship against one of the best defenses of this season in the Green Bay Packers. You know, the Packers, I didn't like them going into that game. I thought, Casey Bubba said it really well last week when he said they're one of the more unimpressive 13-3 teams that we've seen. You know, it's not their fault. They beat the teams that are put in front of them, of course.
Yes.
But 13-3, I thought was a little, they just didn't look like a 13-3 team. So I wasn't surprised to see the Niners dominate them. I just really wasn't. But I was surprised to see them do it with, Jimmy G have 77 passing yards, something like that. They beat teams like the Titans were beating teams from their run in this playoff. So, which was incredible, by the way. I just still can't believe the turnaround that Ryan Tannehill has had this season and how good they were. And it looked like they were on their way to the Super Bowl in the first quarter of that game. So, I don't know. It was that was a surprising performance, but I'm absolutely with you, Johnny. I think that this defensive line, I mean, where would you put, you've watched, you're one of the few people I know that have watched more football than I have. Where would you rank this defensive line with Bosa and Armstead and Buckner and everybody else?
You know, look, they're not the 85 Bears. They're not the 2000 Ravens. But, man, they are in my lifetime, and I'm now at 42 years of NFL fandom, so I've seen a lot. They're in that top 10. I mean, they're not the purple people eaters of the 60s, but this is a nasty, you know, not only, they're so athletic, Scott. Like, this is a different, like, when I think about the 86 Bears, I think of power and strength, and they mauled you. What I see is speed and athleticism and long arms. The 49ers just come after you. And I don't know if the Chiefs offensive line is going to be able to put up 4 quarters against this front 4. Now, I also like it. The 49ers don't have to blitz a lot to get pressure. They're going to be able to keep some, I think, you know, obviously game script, how turnovers, there's factors. But if the 49ers can rush 4, leave 7 in coverage, and slow down the Chiefs. Look, it's going to be hard to stop them, but slow them down. They're going to get pressure on Mahomes. The thing I like about this here is Bosa, Buckner are fast enough to corral Mahomes. Mahomes is so good at avoiding the rush, keeping the play alive with his eyes down the field. And of course, his arm is so good, he can make any throw when the wide receiver gets open when the play breaks down. But these linemen have the speed and the in their arms to disrupt Mahomes, maybe trip him up. You don't have a lot of front fours that can get to Mahomes with speed, and I think the 49ers can here, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the Niners are one of the better defenses we've seen in a while. I think it's the best defense that we've seen since that Broncos team. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, they're not as good as the Seahawks, the Legion of Boom, the first time. But this is probably the best since that Broncos team.
Yeah, yeah. So yes. I just, you know, and you look at, you look at like PFF rankings and stuff on the offensive line of the Chiefs versus the defensive line of the Niners here, and it's just
not pretty.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
Mahomes is going to be able to make some amazing plays, and I think where the Niners get caught is would be getting beat deep over the top by like a Tyreek Hill. I think they're going to need quick passes, so I think Kelce is. He could have one of those games where he has like 10 catches for 70 yards, you know, something like that, where it's he gets a ton of catches, but he doesn't get a ton of yards because they're just trying to get that ball out of Mahomes' hands quick, real quick, so that he doesn't get eaten alive by that defensive line. So I think that is really where the Super Bowl is. What about when you're looking on the reverse side of the Niners offense versus the Chiefs defense, Johnny? I mean, are the Niners going to have the type of success against this defense that they had against the Packers? I mean, I think that the Packers defense was better than the Chiefs. You know, as far as personnel, I think the Chiefs are playing better than the Packers played in that game. But you would think that that's probably the game plan is to go run heavy, right?
Look at my friend. I absolutely loved that running game against Green Bay. And looking at Jimmy G's statistics reminded me of Bob Greasy in Super Bowl, I think, 6 against the Redskins when he, no, against, I'm sorry, against the Vikings. He threw like 8 passes. Like, it was ridiculous, right?
Right.
But what I see is that run game. Shanahan is a master. He's taken his dad's run game and he said, checkmate, I'm going to get a PhD. And I'm telling you, guys, I learned this as an old man when I was a young kid. And I see this with San Francisco. You want to know where the ball's going? Follow the fullback, Kyle Juszczyk. He is the key to this entire offense. Man, my friend, they're going to trap. They're going to counter. They're going to bring tackles around to the wide side. They're going to blast down with Kittle. But you know what? The back is following the fullback. Watch the fullback. Don't get caught up in the fancy guards and the tackles. They're brilliant. They're creating space. But, man, Juszczyk might be the most rated player in the NFL, my friends. He blew the Packers out of the water, and Mostert just ran right behind him. I mean, he's the perfect back. He follows that fullback. Shanahan schemes Juszczyk to one-on-one with a safety or a linebacker, and he blows him up. And then there's 25 yards down the field, my friend. I mean, it is a thing of beauty what Shanahan has done. Look at Staley, McGlinchey, Garland, Tomlinson, Pearson. They're good. But, man, the way Shanahan schemes it up with Juszczyk is a thing of beauty, my friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Juszczyk has been Pro Bowl fullback for a million years running. Like, he's just always a Pro Bowl fullback because he's that good. And, I mean, I don't know that much is going to change in this game. It's funny that the Chiefs are favored, but I just think that people know they'll bet on, like, most bettors will bet on the Chiefs. So that was my
and they love the offense. And they want to bet on the offense.
They want to bet on, they want to be able to watch it win. But we got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl. But I've got some prop bets here that we can go over. They're always fun. So we're going to come back with those. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
We're back. It's hour two, segment two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Johnny, this is where I want you to promote all the stuff that you're doing. Obviously, on Gridiron Skull 91 on the Twitter. And what all do you have going on in your world right now?
So right now I'm knee deep in prospects. This is my seventh year writing my scouting profiles for footballdiehards.com. The day after the Super Bowl, actually the Tuesday after the Super Bowl, we are publishing my top six quarterbacks in the NFL draft. They're going up. And then basically about once a week, I'm working on the next segment. So right now, in the last 2 days, I've been studying DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor. I'm working on running backs, and then I'll start on the wide receivers after that. But basically for the next 5 to 6 weeks, it is NFL draft prospects from a fantasy football perspective. Look, I love the linebackers. I love the offensive line. But football diehards, and what I do is mostly the skill position players for fantasy fans in the future.
Yeah, and that's I do a lot of that stuff at In This League as well. John a little bit ahead of me because, you know, John does just football. Now, he does do pro and college, so you got to respect that. I'm knee-deep in baseball prep and basketball stuff, so I always find myself a little bit behind John, but we're going to talk about the Senior Bowl in a little bit here, and I'm really interested to see because I feel like there are a couple prospects that have the world divided, one specifically, but we'll get to that in a little bit. But in the break, I couldn't get John off of talking about fullbacks. And in the break, we were talking about fullbacks. And, you know, Larry Zonka, you mentioned with the Dolphins, of course, leading them. I mean, he carried the ball a lot, too. But who are your favorite fullbacks that you've watched? Obviously, I feel like Mike Alstott gets a lot of run in newer fans because he got the ball around the goal line a lot. But who were guys that... You know, fullbacks don't get a lot of love in the NFL anymore, and they're doing it right with San Francisco right now.
Oh, my God. San Francisco is beautiful. But yeah, so my as a kid, my first love was the Miami Dolphins. And believe it or not, Larry Zonka was my first superstar football fandom. It was my, you know, I was like 7, 8 years old. And Tom Seaver was the other in baseball. So I absolutely love Zonka, but the game was so different. Hey, you want to know different? Jim Brown was technically a fullback. I mean, that's still one of the things that blows my mind about, you know, Jim Brown running in the 50s and the 60s. Jim Taylor was a fullback. I don't know if people, but Mark Van Egan of the Oakland Raiders, I think he had 3,000-yard seasons in the 70s. Absolutely loved him. Rocky Blyer, you know, the man got wounded in Vietnam, came back, worked his way up. It's a great story. Ended up on the four-time Super Bowl Steeler champion. But my personal favorite, I just, I'm looking for it right now, Howard Griffin. Denver Broncos won the back-to-back Super Bowls, blasting holes open for Terrell Davis. I love Howard Griffith. I mean, I love the 49ers backs. Tom Rathman, they were great. And someone might not know this. Roger Craig was a fullback at Nebraska before he played halfback for the San Francisco 49ers. So obviously the game has changed so much. So when I'm watching this 49ers run game, it just brings back all these great memories when the game was played between the tackles in a different era. And the fullback was so important, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously being a Steelers fan, I loved the bus driver, Tim Lester. And and Dan Kreider blocked for the Steelers for a long time, too. Well, I tell you what I hated about Dan Kreider was his Madden hands rating, because what the play that I loved to run was that fullback flat. And yeah, it was like 50% of the time Kreider would catch it, 50% of the time he would drop it. But if he caught it, it was like just hit the truck stick until like three guys bring you down, because he's running over the first two dudes. So I would always make him a Pro Bowler in my little dumb Madden seasons because he would catch 50 passes for me, because he's always wide open because nobody covered him because he only caught it 50% of the time. So
here's, did you ever know this? There's a great interview with Howard Griffin. And I know you know LeVon Kirkland, right?
Oh, yeah. Levo, 99.
Oh, my God. Now, obviously, as a Bronco fan, the Steelers, you know, we're in the AFC championship against them. I respect the hell out of Kirkland. But Kirkland blows up Griffin in the regular season. If people don't remember, Denver and Pittsburgh played in the regular season. Then they meet in the AFC championship game. And basically, Shanahan challenges Griffith. If we're not going to win this game, if you don't beat the one-on-one matchup and you don't block LeVon Kirkland, it is an interview. And he does one hell of a job in that AFC championship game. If you watch Terrell Davis and you watch Elway, but if you pay attention to Griffith, you will see him. And he's a lot. Kirkland was a monster, man.
Dude, he was LeVon Kirkland. People don't understand. He was fat. Like, he wasn't overweight. He was fat.
No.
And
he was huge.
And he ran down Ed McCaffrey and covered him on plays in the slot. He was an unbelievable athlete. And he was amazing. I loved watching Levo play. He was one of the naturals. Of course, I don't. I never watched that interview, John, because I was bitter about that AFC championship. You know, my memory of that AFC title game was Bill Romanowski walking up walking up to Cordell and slamming his hand on his helmet, like, you idiot, how could you throw another pick? And that was Cordell. You know, Cordell just could never get over the hump. So that's one of those things. You almost remember the big losses as much as you remember the big wins, right? Because I remember exactly where I was watching. You know, I was in the living room. I obviously still lived at home. I think that was 1997 or
98. Yeah, or the January 98, maybe.
Yeah, right. So either way, I remember watching that. And, you know, the Steelers had just lost the Super Bowl to the Cowboys like 2 years before that or a year before that. And, Cordell was supposed to be the guy, the anti Neil O'Donnell, right? Neil O'Donnell was just a dude that stood in the pocket and, threw picks to Brown in the Super Bowl. But Cordell was supposed to be the next guy, and obviously that didn't happen. Had to wait till Ben came around, but two Super Bowl titles and three Super Bowl appearances. Ben is pretty good. So, the way, can you believe what the Chargers are doing to Phillip Rivers right now?
Oh, so wait, I'm going to give you the truth. Yes, I am. Because he's done. He's done.
You think, dude, I've seen
he's toast.
I understand that you know, you think Phillip Rivers is done. I get that. But he's been the face of the franchise since 2004. Like, you know, shouldn't they at least answer his text message? I mean, come on.
Well, okay. They might be doing it in an unprofessional manner, but I understand, like, dude, he was so bad this year. I don't know why people are afraid to say it when these quarterbacks get so bad. Look, I love Peyton Manning. He was terrible his last year. I saw Dan Marino, Dan Fouts. I've seen Terry Bradshaw's last year. I saw Joe Namath. I'm so old at the end. They're all so bad. Phillip Rivers was terrible this year, my friend. Terrible.
But haven't they earned a couple terrible years? Guys like that.
He got it. He got 1 year.
He did get one. I mean, he wasn't good. He was painful to watch, but I can't, you know, at least answer his text to tell him, yeah, look, we're going a different way. Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes.
They did the same thing with Eric Weddle, but Eric Weddle wasn't like the face of the franchise. He's a great player, of course, but he didn't mean what Phillip Rivers meant to that franchise. I mean, I guess maybe it's just a whole new attitude since they moved cities and all that stuff. So who knows where Rivers will end up, but it ain't going to be with the Chargers next year. But Johnny, I've got these prop bets here. So you ready to go through them?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So the first one is, will Demi Lovato complete the national anthem in less than 2 minutes? Yes or no on that?
I'm going to say no, because I think I read it. She averages like 2 minutes and 11 seconds. So I'm going to say over on that.
You've got the scouting report on Demi Lovato?
Here's the thing. I spend too much time alone on Twitter, and I saw that tweet.
That's funny.
The only reason that I was like, how does someone know? But people bet on that. So who's posting the average time?
What about the coin toss? Heads or tails?
Oh, always heads. I don't even waver.
Always heads. Never tails.
Always heads.
I go tails never fails. That's what I do.
There you go. You know, I think I just always do heads. That's just always do heads.
Will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes of the game?
Yes. Yes.
Yes to that. How will the first points be scored? Touchdown, field goal, safety?
49ers, field goal.
Field goal. Okay. What will be the jersey number of the first player to score a touchdown? You get to choose between 1 through 24 or 25 to 99.
I'm going to go 25 to 99.
I think you probably got a tight end scoring a touchdown, right? So
the tight ends. Yeah. And you get 75 numbers. I know the big numbers are under, but I'll take the numbers side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The 80s. Right. You want a wide out or a tight end to score for sure.
Yes.
Who will score first in the second quarter? Kansas City or San Francisco?
I'm going to say Kansas City because they're behind.
Kansas City because they're already behind in the second quarter. Okay. I like that. Over under 26.5 points in the first half.
Under.
Under that? You're going under on the whole thing. So I'm not surprised that you're under on that.
It's 54.5 or something, right? Well,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot. It's a lot of juice, man. A lot of juice.
Will the score ever be tied after it's 0-0? So like a 3-3, a 7-7, nothing like that?
I don't think so, no.
So no to that. Will the lead be over 14.5 by either team in this game?
Yes, at one point, San Fran. Yeah, at one point, the 49ers will be up by 14, either a turnover or a big run.
But they got to be up by 14.5. It's got to be more than two touchdowns.
Oh, I mean, you could be up 28-14. I'll still say yes.
Okay. I mean, man, you're going in on the Niners big. Will there be a touchdown in every quarter?
I'll say yes. Yes.
I would say yes on
that's
that.
That's a tough one.
Will there be at least one missed field goal?
I do think so. Because people have been talking about how good the kickers are, which tells me there's going to be one missed field goal.
Right. And I don't even know that they're that good. Like, Butker has been good, but Robbie Gould, I don't know.
I know. People are like, they're the greatest kick. Look, they're good kickers. And this is just one of those things where, you know, the football gods are going to laugh at one of them. I mean, they're just not going to make it.
Over under the shortest field goal of 27.5 yards. So if you think the shortest field goal will be 28 yards or more, then you would go over on that.
I think someone's going to hit a 50 yarder, right? So I want a 45, right? Like a deep one. So I want the under, right?
No. This is the shortest field goal in the game is still over 27.5 yards.
Oh, okay. So someone could hit a 19 and the other are 45.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to say, yes, someone gets bogged down in the red zone near the goal line. So I'll say under. Yes.
Under,
one
okay.
short field.
A short field goal. Over 2.5 players with a pass attempt. This means either a backup quarterback is going to have to come in or there's a trick play where another position throws the ball outside of the quarterbacks.
You know, people are taking the over on that. I'm going to take the under. I mean, how can you take the ball out of Mahomes and Jimmy G's hands? I just don't see it. So I'm going to say no.
More receiving yards, Kelce or Kittle? That's a good one.
Oh, I have to say, you know what? Game script tells me Kelce because they're going to be throwing the play catch up.
You've got them down, right?
Yeah, so I got to go Kelce.
Over under Jimmy G, 29.5 pass attempts.
Oh, under. I mean, the way my game script is, there's no way
he's going to have like 9 pass attempts, according to Lob over here. They're going to dominate that line. Juszczyk's going to be the MVP, right?
Yes, but I would say 20 or 22.
Okay. Yeah, 20, no, I think that's a fair mark. Over under 30.5 pass attempts for Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to go over.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. This is 30.5 rushing yards. My bad.
Oh. Ah, you know what? I'm going to give him that because he might find a deep run late in the game. So I'm going to go over because the catch-up says that he's going to be running late in the game.
Right, and he had that 27-yarder for a touchdown against the Titans, too. Over under longest touchdown at 47.5 yards. So is there going to be a touchdown more than 47.5 yards in this game?
Yes. Either a run or a deep pass by Mahomes. Yes.
Defense or special teams touchdown. Yes or no?
Yes. Yes. 49ers score on defense.
Which team will score last? This is a weird one because if you think the Chiefs are playing catch up, they might score last and still not win.
Yes. So I'm going to say Kansas City because they could be down 27-10. and score late. So I'll go that way. Yes, Kansas City.
And this one, I got to get your final score on because this is total points, odd or even. So what do you think the score is going to be? Obviously, you got the Niners winning, and then we'll add them up, and is that going to be an odd or even number?
I really think it's going to be 31-17.
31-17. So that's an even number. That'd be 48 total points.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So, I mean, which one of these, well, I guess we'll have to talk about it on the other side, but I'm going to say, which one of these are you most confident on? Do you have a quick answer on that? We got about 20 seconds.
Oh, I love the under, my friend. If I had to do anything, yes. I mean, I'm very confident in the under, if especially that low. The low, what was it, 26 and a half, you said, on the first half?
Yep.
That's the one I like the most.
All right. Well, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Senior Bowl a little bit and then a little draft coverage, of course, since we've got John here. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this break.
To light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In this league.
I'm back!
Welcome back. It's hour two, segment three of In This League on the Sports Grid. This is my last segment here, sadly, with my friendo, John Lobb. And we just had the Senior Bowl, John. So I guess I want to ask you, there's player specifics I want to ask you, of course. But what did you see from the Senior Bowl or the Shrine Game or any of these collegiate bowls that impressed you the most?
Justin Herbert. I was a little concerned. I've watched more Justin Herbert than any normal person should watch. I like Oregon. I've had him on my college fantasy team for 3 years. I've probably seen him play out 14 or 15 games live, and I've seen the best of Justin Herbert, the worst of Justin Herbert. So what I wanted to see at the Senior Bowl was consistency. And I wanted to see skills that I know he has, but he doesn't always employ. So he, to me, was the most impressive. Now, the running back who surprised me the most, I'll have to admit, because you know you and I love college fantasy football, and I was big into Joshua Kelly this year. I was heavily drafted. I got him in a lot of leagues. He was a little disappointing. I hurt early, came on late, wasn't as good as he was 2 years ago. But, man, he was really good in the Senior Bowl game. All reports were very positive. Now, I understand the thing is all the top running backs are underclassmen. And what happened, Zach Moss did not show up, and Keyshawn Vaughn got hurt early in the week. So basically it provided an opportunity for Joshua Kelly. And I have to admit, he far exceeded my expectations. And this is where college fantasy football, even though I know the talent, I know the players very well, the NFL is a different game.
Right.
So I had to say, hey, look it, there's something here with Joshua Kelly. I've got to look at him more. So he's one of the players I'm going to go back and do more film study on because I loved him 2 years ago, and I thought he disappointed this last year. But he was very good at the Senior Bowl, my friend.
Yeah, he was impressive. He had a couple big runs there in the Senior Bowl for sure. And also, even before the actual game, you know, what scouts take more out of this, to be honest, than the actual game is the practices. Who looked best in practice? Justin Herbert had a lot of that throughout the week. So let me ask you this. I mean, because Josh Kelly, I don't think I can trust it because I trusted it with Amir Abdullah a couple years ago with his huge Senior Bowl showing, and he has just been a disappointment, obviously, ever since then. But Justin Herbert, in your opinion, this second, because people are wavering between Herbert and Tua, because Tua's coming off, obviously, hip surgery and all that stuff entering the draft. Who, if you're taking a quarterback for your franchise, which one of those guys are you taking at this point?
Scott, great question, because I finished my quarterback profiles like we spoke before. They're coming out next Tuesday, and I have Tua number two, Herbert number three. I thought a lot about this, watched a lot of tape on both guys. Now, basically to me, it comes down to, am I worried more about Tua's hip or Herbert's inconsistency and his floor? Is
yeah,
it Carson
because,
Wentz
because
or
if,
Blake Bortles?
Like, if Tua was healthy, there would be no question here, right?
No. Hey, he might go number one to the Bengals if Tua's healthy. Right. I mean, that's – look, it, the talent is off the charts. But you got to say the hip is a factor. So that's why I have Burrow over Tua.
Now, is Joe Burrow kind of sealed it for me with his game in the national title game? We love Chase Young. We know Chase Young is an unbelievable player. I think most – if the Bengals didn't need a quarterback, Chase Young would easily be the pick, right? Because I think there's I think there's a difference, and I like Derek Brown a lot too, but there are people that still have Kinlaw ahead of him or, you know, other defensive tackles ahead of him. But I think it's easily Chase Young as far as a defensive player goes. And then it's Kinlaw, Brown, whoever else you want to put behind him. Is Joe Burrow just the easiest pick that we've had in a while at number one for a team? Last year was a little struggle with Kyler Murray. A lot of teams thought maybe they would end, the Cardinals would end up taking, why can't I remember his name? Quinnen Williams. Or Nick Bosa, either one. But they wound up going with Kyler because that was what Kingsbury wanted to end up doing. Is this just an easy pick for the Bengals to take Burrow?
Scott, I'm starting to hear the little chatter coming out of the Twitterverse and the draft world. I have 100% not a doubt in my mind. You take Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
He's a terrific prospect. Look, I'm an old man. I've seen lots of first-round picks fail, but I've seen a lot of first-round picks succeed. He is in my top five prospects of the last 7 years at the quarterback position. Scott, you know, you and I have talked about him all year long on our podcast. He was every game since the Alabama game I saw, every throw Joe Burrow made. He was spectacular down the stretch. 6'4", 216. His ability to throw the football on the run is phenomenal. Okay, he doesn't have elite arm strength. I get it. I care more about accuracy than arm strength. And do you remember a couple years ago, people were criticizing Deshaun Watson because his velocity wasn't high enough at the combine, which was a bunch of crap.
Paralysis by analysis, right, John?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
I've watched too much Joe Burrow, dude. He is clearly the quarterback you want. I mean, don't overthink it. You need him in your franchise, Scott. I'm not going to listen to the chatter. Burrow's my guy number one.
I hope I hope they don't take him because I think he's real good and I'm a Steelers fan. So I don't want Joe Burrow, you know, in there torturing my guys for a while. I mean, you know, they had that with Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was that type of guy as well. And, it, you know, it didn't work out for the Bengals. Of course, they haven't won a – I mean, they haven't won a playoff game since I think it's still 1990, isn't it?
So. Yeah, it's Boomer Esiason in the Bengals. That was, dude, I remember the last time they won a playoff game.
I don't. I think I was in like third grade or something. So it's been a long time. Bengal fans hate me, of course. But I think that's a smart pick. And I didn't have that opinion for this entire offseason. You know, I thought that Chase Young should be the pick for whoever, kind of regardless of if they needed a position. But I think Burrow shut everybody up. He proved everybody wrong this season. I didn't even want him for fantasy coming into this year. And, you know, hear guys like Kuiper and McShay and a bunch of others talk about it. We've just never seen a turnaround for a quarterback prospect like we have Joe Burrow from his junior year to his senior year. It just hasn't. We just haven't seen it. And, you know,
I've never seen it. Never.
Right. And Kuiper, who's been covering the draft since there's been a draft, said that he's never seen it and he doesn't think we'll ever see it again. Because most of the time, if a guy has good traits, you'll see them. What Joe Brady and Joe Burrow did this season at LSU was just unbelievable. Now, the guy I want to ask you about that I think people are split on, and I haven't watched everything I need to watch, so I'm going to give my grade an incomplete on this guy as it stands right now. But
Jordan, I think I know who you're going to ask.
Jordan Love. Jordan Love, I hear... No, he can't read a defense. What are people thinking? To, this is the next Patrick Mahomes. I just don't know who to believe. I've only watched one full cut up of him so far. Obviously, we've seen him play. You know, I've seen highlights and stuff. He's good, but I'm not going to sit here and call him Patrick Mahomes because I haven't seen that stuff. So you're ahead of me once again in this process. What are your thoughts about Jordan Love?
He's number four on my list, but I have a second round grade. Now, that does not mean he goes not in the first round because a team might reach for him. Like your Steelers, they're going to need someone to back up eventually Roethlisberger, right? I think Love's going to go in the first round, but I have a second round grade. Now, he is a perplexing player to analyze. His two seasons ago, 2018, he was a stud. And, you know, we talked about him on our college fantasy football, but the entire offense almost graduated. He came back and he wasn't as good. Now, anyone who says he's Patrick Mahomes, they have not watched football. I'm convinced of it. Look, he's not even in the same breath. Like, if you ask me to name 10 guys Jordan Love is like, Patrick Mahomes never, ever even popped up on my radar. That's absurd. I saw Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech, much better prospect than Jordan Love. I have Patrick Mahomes only behind Deshaun Watson. He was my number two in that draft. I like Love. Second round, great. The best thing that could happen to this young man is he sits for 1 or 2 years.
I mean, Mahomes did that, you know, so so why?
Carson, you just said it. Carson Palmer did it.
Right. So why wouldn't it make sense for a second rounder to do that? I'm 100% with you on that. So.
Yes. Now, the arm strength's there. The athletic ability's there, but he's an unpolished prospect.
And not all of that is his fault. They got a new coaching staff at Utah State last year, so he was going through a new offensive system and all that stuff. So I can't sit here and blame him. He was fairly unimpressive this year, but the physical traits are there for sure. So I haven't dug in and saw him go through reads and stuff like that. I need to do all that works.
He's a little one read quarterback, but that could be the system too. I mean, you know, he scans half the field, Scott.
Right.
But that's also the system, right? I mean, so it's hard to make those judgments if you don't have the play sheet, the play call in front of you.
Now, wide receivers, you know, it seems like it's Judy and Lamb as 1-2, and then there is a giant mix of who is three, who is four, who is five, moving down this draft class. It's extremely deep, so there's going to have to be a lot of separation given during the combine and things like that. Do you have Judy and Lamb 1-2 in which order, and who are the other guys that are possible first-rounders to you?
I am on hashtag Judy, no question in my mind. He's the best route runner that I've seen in my 7 years and one of the best route runners I've ever seen in my life. I absolutely love him. He's a plug and play. He's not as good as Julio Jones. He just doesn't have the physical size, but he's better than Calvin Ridley. He's my number one. I have CeeDee Lamb right now at number two, but I am a little reluctant. These Oklahoma kids, man, 6'2", 189. When was the last time one of these Oklahoma receivers became a Pro Bowler? I have my questions. I see what everyone else does.
And Marquise Brown is pretty good. Like,
let's see. The book's not written.
It's not. Right? It's not. But I would say he did a really good job his rookie season.
Yes, if he could stay healthy, I would completely agree with you. But so he's my number two. Then, you know what? Henry Ruggs, Laviska Shenault, and T. Higgins. I have not separated them yet. Right now, I'm leaning towards T. Higgins. I am a big T. Higgins fan, man. You can't coach size and hands. He's 6'4", 215. He's so physical, so strong. And I think he's getting underlooked in this process. Now, Henry Ruggs. The thing is, he could be Tyreek Hill, but he might be John Ross. The ceiling, the ceiling and the floor is so great. I think T. Higgins, to me, he's the type of player who's going to have a 8-year career with over 900 yards easily once he ascends to the top. I love T. Higgins, but I'm still doing my film work on those three guys, my friend.
Now, there are people that are putting Brandon Ayuk in the first round. I know Daniel Jeremiah has an extremely high grade on him, and we heard the rumors of a lot of scouts having him higher than they had N'Keal Harry from ASU last season, and N'Keal Harry was a first-rounder drafted by the Patriots. A late first-rounder, but still a first-rounder. Now, there's buzz on Jalen Reagor. Obviously, Van Jefferson had a great Senior Bowl. Denzel Mims had a great Senior Bowl. There's a lot of buzzy players, and AGG, Antonio Gandy-Golden had a good one. There's just so much talent. Are you waiting for the combine to separate these guys? Is it more film studying? What is going to be your separators? Because there's a big clump of amazing wideouts this year.
First, I do have to watch more film. I mean, I finished my quarterbacks. I'm now, you know, I just told you I'm working on the running backs. So I do have more film work. Now, it's funny because I liked Brandon Ayuk. You know, we talked a lot of him a lot this year. I had him on a ton of college fantasy teams. I thought I was going to be bullish. Now I hear people, I don't have a first round grade now. And I liked him. So I am shocked at the amount of love that he's getting. Now, he's a late bloomer and a JUCO JUCO transfer. He also played behind N'Keal Harry. So I've got to go back and say, am I missing something? And I like him, Scott. You know that. You've heard me talk about him. So I'm trying to say, am I missing something? Am I too conservative? I have a second round grade. Love Justin Jefferson. Absolutely love him at LSU. Now, I'm not a big Van Jefferson guy or Colin Johnson. And you know I was high on Colin Johnson. I had the wrong guy at Texas. I should have had. So now I'm very excited about Antonio Gandy-Golden. I think he's a steal if he makes it to the fourth round. I have a third round grade on him. There is challenges with separation, I believe, at the NFL level. But the hands are good, the tracking of the ball deep down the field is good, and he's physical. I like AGG very much, and the sleeper, the one I like a ton. I still like Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson is a sleeper. He's 6'2". He was amazing in Minnesota, and I feel like there are some people that have a first-round grade on him, too.
I mean, so what I've seen, people say he's slow. That's not on film. That's what they're saying. He's the combine guy. How about right. that?
Absolutely with that. He's definitely a combine guy. Well, look, you guys got to go to footballdiehards.com to check out all of John's great information. Follow him on Twitter at GridironSkull91. And I guarantee you I will have John on my NFL Draft War Room show this offseason to talk about more of these prospects. But we got to go. That's all the time that we've got for today with John. Thank you so much for stopping by and stick with us because hour three is coming up with my guy, Casey Bubba. So stick with us and we will have more coverage right after this.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.